You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Ministry Grid. Ministry Grid is an online church leadership and volunteer training platform offering a library of thousands of videos and a suite of powerful admin tools to provide practical training for every area of ministry in your church. Find out more and get a free 30-day trial at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper. Today, I'm here with Todd Adkins, who is the Director of Leadership at Lifeway Christian Resources, and Daniel M., who heads up our New Churches initiative, so newchurches.com. Today, we are asking 5 leadership questions about social media and how to use it well. And I think this will be a lively discussion because Todd and I have some differing opinions on what makes an effective use of social media.
Okay.
And just to preface it, Todd's wrong. So we'll just keep that in mind as we go.
I don't think anyone has as many Twitter followers as him, though.
You mean anybody in this room?
Yeah, in this room.
Oh, he's got probably 14 times as many as I do or something like that. So
whatever.
It's at Todd Adkins. Daniel, what's your Twitter handle?
At Daniel, S-A-N-G-I.
So Daniel Sang I. And I'm at Sanji. Barnabas Piper.
Sangi. It's my Korean name.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so let's just jump into these questions. So first question, just introductory. I will throw this out there. You two can arm wrestle over who answers it first. What social media platforms do you use? And then what are the benefits of those? So why those, not others?
Well, my personal favorite is Pinterest. Just kidding. My wife's personal favorite is Pinterest. And it was funny. I was actually, she was showing me a pin yesterday. And there's actually this cool feature where if you hold your finger down on the phone, a pop-up comes up where you can share, edit, or pin. Have you seen that? I've never seen that in
Todd's
any
not,
other social
Todd's
media.
Todd's not going to acknowledge having seen that because Pinterest embarrasses him. Seen that. It is a very cool interface.
Okay. I have to admit, I do have a Pinterest account.
I know.
And I do visit it.
You post pictures of barns.
I like barns. I like dogs.
Barns? Yes. And then some sort of do-it-yourself DIY project kind of stuff, I feel like. Some woodwork kind of things.
I grew up in a very rural area, so there's some of that stuff that still comes into play.
No, Daniel, you mentioned Pinterest. I suspect there might have been a touch of irony in that.
Yes.
What do you use? What are your go-tos?
Yeah, I mean, at the moment, I experimented with a bunch of them, but at the moment, it's Twitter and Facebook probably the most.
Do you have a strong preference for one, or do you?
Yeah, Facebook's pretty annoying.
What I love about Twitter is nobody ever invites me to play some random game.
Yeah.
And there's not, Twitter has its own.
I'm going to start tweeting invitations at you.
Twitter has its own issues, right? I mean, if you're on there very much, you know what some of those are.
Yeah.
But Facebook seems to have an overexorbitant amount of people that their sense of personal worth is directly tied to their level in Candy Crush.
Yeah.
And I just can't go there.
It's also, I mean, a big... One of the challenges of Facebook in terms on the personal side is that you can write hundreds and hundreds of words. So you just, your feed fills up with lengthy posts of people who have strong political opinions or strong theological opinions or some, you know, whatever it is. And, but I will say this, Facebook is far more effective than Twitter for sharing content. So if you are a blogger, if it's that kind of thing, you will get massively more engagement there because their algorithm is such that the more people share it, the more people share it. So it snowballs. No, but I mean, it builds exponentially. Whereas Twitter, it's just a more straight math number. Well, so a retweet 18, can generate, what's that?
18 to 24 minutes is the average window for retweets. So the vast majority of your retweets are going to happen in the first 18 to 24 minutes.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about Facebook, I just read this article on their new way of advertising, and it's something that came out in a conference in France. And what they're wanting to do is actually have more and more posts and content native to Facebook, kind of like what Medium does. And also LinkedIn, where a lot of LinkedIn.
So instead of linking to blogs, you actually post something.
Yeah, and it's within Facebook, and they're trying to develop that out.
What? And it's you can see a significant difference. I mean, they benefit themselves in that way. So if you link to a YouTube video, you'll get some shares, some likes, whatever. But if you post the video in Facebook, you'll probably get five times as many views.
Yeah, and that's what Twitter's done too. Right, because I mean, even with Instagram, I used to go Instagram, do a photo, share it to Twitter, but now they don't even show you.
Yeah, just as a link to Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. No,
you can actually, if you're people listening may not be familiar with if this then that.
Yeah.
IFTTT, whatever, but it basically allows semi-technical people, but more normal people to build. Basically, you're building a formula. So there's formulas for everything, including if I post this in Instagram, post it as a native Twitter picture.
Okay.
So that's how you get around that.
So you don't have to post twice.
You don't have to post twice, and it actually shows up in your feed as a picture and not a link.
I will say Instagram is one of my favorite social media platforms. Yeah. It is, from a business standpoint, it's a little bit harder to use effectively because if you drop links in your caption, they don't show up as links. You have to say, go to my profile and see the link and things like that. There's some limitations there. But in terms of just pure content engagement, I think it's more enjoyable.
Well, you do post a lot of selfies.
What's that?
So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, fishing.
You know, the beach bod needs to be shown off.
Oh, no, please. Well, I do use my accounts. I mean, yeah, I would add Instagram to myself as, you know, my favorite accounts as well. But I do use them all differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, I rarely post any personal photos or family photos to Twitter.
Any other social media platforms that you use, Todd, that you enjoy besides Twitter? I know that's your go-to.
It's my go-to. So, you know, blessing and a curse, it may be a weakness of mine, is I like to just make sure that I have my name on whatever social platform. So I pretty much have a presence on a lot of different things, but definitely Twitter is the go-to. I would say Facebook, you may see me once or twice a week. But honestly, mostly with Facebook, it's different groups I belong to. So there's, you know how you have the ability to like have a secret group or do this or that. Those are where I actually participate in conversation.
Like a church small group, because it's where you're announcing where things are happening.
Church next, or, you know, a group of social media people that's what they do, or a group of leadership guys and just who are talking shop, or, hey, what's the best, you know, how do I do, I'm looking to do this, or trying to figure out, we mentioned Facebook. I mean, one of the horrible things about Facebook to me personally is I can't figure it out. And when you feel like you figure it out, they're going to change something. They're going to change every two or three months.
They've been very public about it being a big social experiment. They change their algorithms they're very public about that. But the point you just made, Todd, about claiming your name on all the different platforms, things like that, is a natural transition to our second question, which is, focusing this in more on leadership, people in positions of leadership, should leaders keep up with every new platform? Yes or no? What's the good of that? What's the bad of that? Is that something that people should feel the pressure to do?
Well, I mean, one thing that I didn't mention earlier was the point of LinkedIn. And I think LinkedIn is a good example with this question. So, all right. So apparently you don't like LinkedIn.
I checked mine a couple weeks ago. I had back surgery recently, so I didn't have a ton to do.
That's when you get on LinkedIn.
That's when I got on LinkedIn, and I was like, I have 600 requests.
And I don't think there's an accept all button either.
No, there's not an accept all button. And I'm like, who? I've never met this person in my entire life. Twitter, I expect that. LinkedIn, I don't expect that. And so it's like, you know, yes, I have a LinkedIn account. But no, I don't post there every day. But I've thought about it. I've been like, well, why wouldn't I post some of the same stuff I post on Twitter primarily to LinkedIn? Because I focus almost exclusively on leadership. If you follow me on Twitter, then at least two or three times a day, I'm going to be talking about leadership. There's going to be a hashtag of leadership in there.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about LinkedIn, though, is there are some people still on the fence of, you know, thinking that it's not that useful and such. And I mean, I would have agreed with you a few years ago. But I do believe that LinkedIn is kind of the new wave of, it's kind of your new resume. And it's your active, ongoing resume. So it's interesting just to see the different features of LinkedIn in the way that recommendations happen, and also the way that they rate you and rank you within the organizations that you're a part of, as well as within the broader field. Yeah, so I mean, there is a rating.
Sorry, I'm slightly competitive, so then I go.
Yeah, so I mean, in that sense, it is quite an interesting. Yeah, it is quite an interesting platform for leadership.
I do think that LinkedIn serves a distinct purpose. Yeah. I just think it is, from a design and use standpoint, it is a hot mess. I mean, it is cluttered, it's clunky, it's a pain to use, their app is terrible, etc. But in terms of the networking side of things, the business connections, it's really useful. Yeah. So I make fun of it. The other thing is, if you don't turn off your notifications, you just get emails all the time. Hey, so-and-so sent you a connection. So-and-so sent you an update, blah, blah, blah. And it's overwhelming. But bigger question, should leaders, I guess another way to phrase the question is, how should leaders prioritize social media? So should they, there are some like you, Todd, who it's just a natural, like it's going to scratch where you itch to just jump on every platform and just test it out. Some of them you're going to love, some of them you're going to hate, yep. But you want to be involved. There are some people who probably don't see the value of social media at all. So what, and I would venture to say they maybe need to come further towards using it. But how should a leader choose what social media to use, what is effective, what to invest time in, how to keep up with what's coming next?
Well, one of the interesting things is, if you look what happened recently with like Meerkat and Periscope. Uh-huh. So for whatever strange reason, the 2 or 3 weeks that Meerkat was available to the public, I'd gotten on it a little earlier and used it once or twice. The cool thing to me was we live stream events all the time, but it was, hey, now anybody is able to live stream anything. And will this be effective? Will this be useful? Daniel and I actually got on and talked about how to fire people how to work with staff you don't like or something. There's like 30 or 40
people. Makes me a little concerned I wasn't in the room for that conversation.
Well,
and the good thing is it wasn't recorded, so you will never know.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, Twitter's like, oh, hold on. And they buy Periscope. And now, for whatever reason, I don't know, I just haven't gotten into Periscope as much. And I didn't invest a ton into Meerkat. But I definitely, thought about it, mm-hmm. spent a lot of time reading it to see what it was as a tool. I think over the course of time, you're going to find the stuff that you like. Of course, you have to invest a little bit of time in it to see whether mm-hmm. or not you like it. Or two, if you're a pastor in this day and age, it should be a job requirement because so many people live, at least in part, on social to have... You need to have some presence on Facebook.
Yeah.
At least.
I think in terms of choosing what you do, there are going to be people who love all the new toys. So every time a new thing, you tried Meerkat and it lasted 2 weeks and it kind of disappeared again. But so I think if you're a leader who is not inclined to be like that, you just need to look at it more from an efficiency standpoint. Where are the most people? As if you're a church leader, you're talking the most people who are in my congregation. The answer is going to be Twitter and Facebook.
Absolutely.
So figure out how to use those at a very basic level. If you're a blogger, if you're a CEO, if you're whatever, then it's more about where do I need to have the greatest impact? Where do I need to get my message out? Again, Facebook and Twitter are just sort of the baseline, but then it might be LinkedIn at a professional level. Google Plus still has impact from sharing stuff. It's not a great social, like a true social network.
I thought they were getting rid of it.
They probably will.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is still some use there. I wish they wouldn't, because Google Plus, if Google would just play nice with everybody else, it's such a better designed social platform than
it is.
It does look nice. I don't understand. In part, I mean,
it's because Google doesn't play nice with anybody else. So they won't play with Twitter, they won't play with Facebook, and so you can't cross post, you can't cross connect, and so it just lives on this little really well designed vacant island.
Yeah. I primarily use it for like hangouts and stuff like that. I mean, that would be the reason why I'm on there or send somebody a request on there is because ultimately I want to have a chat with them or on video or something. So
maybe a way to help leaders sort of figure out, okay, social media, what's a good strategy, is to move on to our third question. And that is just a little bit broader. What's the point of social media for people in leadership, church leadership, business leadership, whatever kind of leadership? Why social media? Because if you can answer that question, it'll probably help you figure out, okay, if I have a purpose, I now know maybe what kind of tools I should look to use.
I feel like there's a tie back in this question with the last one, in the sense that, you know, as a pastor, you know, I primarily went to Facebook because I knew the congregation, that my congregation was on Facebook. And it was a way for me to continue to stay engaged in their lives, to pray for them, to lead them to even just that like button. Even though you're not commenting, that does show them there's that acknowledgement. There's that, oh, okay, they've seen something. Even the way that they remind you of birthdays and events. I mean, it's funny the way they do that and you get notifications, but I just find that that's such a great, it's an easy way to get engaged. It's kind of like a personal assistant saying, hey, remember this.
What the crazy thing is about Facebook is I'll look at, almost every day, I look at whose birthday it is. I don't say happy birthday because I know 83 other people are going to say happy birthday on their feed. I'll either use it to text them or I'll go over to Twitter and say, hey, you should follow this. And a lot of them are church leaders or people I've worked with or, you know, we see at conferences and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you should follow this guy because he knows this aspect of ministry really well. And while you're there, say happy birthday. I mean, that's
so you cheat. You make yourself look like you're more aware than you are.
It's
gamesmanship.
It's gamesmanship.
No, I think in terms of an overall point for a leader, I think it does that. The point that you just made for us for the personal connection aspect is real.
Oh, it's massive.
And I mean, because if you see it on Facebook and you work in the same office as somebody, you just swing by and go, hey, I saw it was your birthday today. Happy birthday. It's a little thing, but it's a big thing. And the drip effect of that is cumulative. In terms of messaging, though, I mean, social media is where people, especially people under 40, find their information about anything.
Yeah.
You know, somebody asked me, like, what news do you follow? I follow Twitter. And Twitter is where I get my news. So Twitter is where I discover new books to read. Twitter is where I discover new TV shows to watch. If I'm not sure, I throw out a question on Twitter and go, hey, what's new on Netflix that I need to watch? And I get 84 suggestions back. And so it is the place for information sharing. And so part of leading is that. So you're sharing brand stuff. You're sharing your own personal message. If you're a preacher or an author, you're sharing those things. That is what it is for. That is the way to do it. And if you have a blog, it will never be discovered if you're not pushing it through social media.
Yeah.
Yes. I would say, I mean, you're one of the, almost the questions to the question or the caveat that I would say in answering this question is, it depends on what level of leadership that you have. I mean, some people are forced into having social because if you're a pastor at a large, really large church or a large business or whatever, it's just people are going to look for information on you. Mm-hmm. So I have two choices. I can either let them find whatever is there on Google, or I can actually say, who do I want to be and who, you know, let me help control some of that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Being proactive.
I think on that point as well, if you're a high level leader, so you're distant from a lot of the people who you influence, social media is a great way to introduce yourself. So to show just glimpses of the real person that's there. If you're afraid to do that, you probably have some moral, ethical questions in your life to deal with. Yeah. But to put out there, what do you enjoy? What's it like to spend time with your family? Just those little things here and there so that people go, oh, big time Pastor X is a real guy. Oh, CEO of this company is, you know, he enjoyed golfing with his son on Father's Day. Just these little things that humanize, which is also a big deal. I mean, that kind of puts the social in social media, not just the platform.
I mean, what I'll do sometime is, just so it doesn't like look like I'm a complete jerk and the only thing I'm posting is stuff about other people or here's my opinion on you or what you should do. I mean, especially from a from a leadership standpoint, a lot of what I'm telling people may come across that way, and it's just hashtag leadership or whatever. But most of the things that I am posting are things that I struggle with. The reason why I just posted about it's better to be prepared than smart in a meeting is because guess what? I just went into a meeting that it would have taken me 5 extra minutes to prepare for, and I counted on being smart and just able to wing it and shoot from the hip, because we have this meeting every week. I know what we're going to say. I have an agenda. I can see what's going to happen. I know we're going to talk about this report. But it's saying, you know what? It doesn't matter if this report is on my area or not. I need to know these numbers, and I need to know, you know, what's behind it, because I got into a situation where, you know, I came to a meeting and I didn't have those things. I counted on being able to look at the
proverbial pants down.
Yes.
But that actually leads really nicely into question number 4, which is, where do you get your content, and what kind of content is good? What kind of content do you look for? So, Todd, you've mentioned that, I think, on another podcast, but you certainly are public with it with your own team, saying, hey, when I tweet stuff, it's not because I'm self-righteously throwing stuff out there at other people, but it's because I noticed something that I need to work on or that I had a failing in. And so it's like a little sermon to yourself.
Absolutely. And sometimes I'll hashtag those confession. Mm-hmm. Because I have a confession. I, you know, often spend more of my prayer time, you know, telling God what I want than trying to be who, you know, God wants me. I'm telling God more than I'm listening or whatever. Those types of things, I think, do make it personal. They do make it vulnerable. And you should let people know. You should say you. Mm-hmm. You should say I sometimes.
Yeah.
And that, I think that personalizes it.
I think content is also specific to, I don't love the idea of a personal brand, but if you're a leader, you kind of have one. You're either representing a brand or you are a brand.
Yeah.
And so it has to be specific to that. So, you know, if you follow like John Maxwell on Twitter, I'm not sure that it's actually John Maxwell tweeting. I would bet a lot that it's somebody on his team, but it's just it's sort of his
impression so badly.
Right, what's that?
Nothing.
I mean, it's his leadership quotes, because his brand is his content. And that's different than a pastor, who probably ought to have a little bit more of a, I don't know, the shepherd persona, I guess, in terms of engaging people and being personable and talking about the things that he cares about at church and about family and about life and just presenting himself that way. So I think brand matters. What are you representing?
Yeah. And also, we have to be careful as to what not to post, because mm-hmm. I think social media idiocy.
It is going to keep a lot of people who are in college and posting stupid stuff now will not be able to get a job in 2 years because that stuff does not disappear.
Exactly. Well, do you remember the Boston Marathon? There is a lady who, after the Boston Marathon for Halloween, she dressed up as one of the runners who got her leg blown off. Right. And she posted a picture of herself at work thinking this is a funny Halloween costume. Well, guess what? She got fired.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, what not to do. Right.
And probably won't get rehired.
Yeah.
Easily as well.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. What not to. I think having a set of filter questions is really helpful too. Just something. I mean, I don't necessarily mean like moral filters. That stuff ought to be pretty obvious. Yeah. Like,
I'm sorry. I'm dealing with the fact that Barnabas Piper is talking about having a filter, and I spent a great deal of time with him.
Well, what we talk about doesn't end up on social media, does it?
Well, it's the 5-second rule.
That's right. But no, I mean, so in terms of just valuable content, the things that always sort of ping around in my mind, there's three questions. And this is just because this is the kind of content that I want to put forth. Is it thought-provoking? Is it informative? So are you showing somebody something they wouldn't have otherwise seen? So you're either changing how they think, you're showing them something they wouldn't otherwise know, or you're making them laugh. So is it funny? Those are the three things I look for. And in terms of, from a Christian perspective, the thought-provoking and the informative fall heavily under that. You know, am I helping people see something they wouldn't otherwise see? In terms of just moral content, don't be a jerk is always a good filter too. It's so easy to anonymously eviscerate somebody on social media because you can have the distance. Even if you're using your real name, you have the distance to hide behind.
And I think people have a tendency, some people that may lack emotional intelligence, you know, the self-awareness and social awareness, self-management, piece that really begins to show up online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they berate, you know, 3 or 4 businesses a week because, you know, you didn't make my ice cream cone correctly or what. And they just feel the need to express that to everyone.
And if you go scroll through their feed, you just look at it and go, man,
I'm not following this person.
Yeah. That is a troll right there.
Or, you know, even I think as a leader, I'm very careful about posting about calling out someone on a business online. Mm-hmm. I may do that twice a year, and most likely it will be an airline or something like that. But, you know, and that stuff it's handy occasionally. But, you know, I think the big thing there is when you think about where you get your content and we're talking about who you are. I mean, I think about leadership incessantly and talk about leadership incessantly and read about leadership incessantly. So I think it's just a natural outflowing of that. But, you know, mm-hmm. most of my content is going to be leadership or church gospel related.
But that's the brand you represent. So you're the leadership director at Lifeway. So we serve churches. You are in leadership. So it's a personal passion and it's a brand.
Absolutely.
And you communicate in that vein. And that makes sense.
You know, I think that's one of the reasons, like, people are like, man, how do you, it's not like you speak at a bunch of conferences or something. How do you have this many followers or how do you get retweets? And I'm like, well, I pretty much have one thing I tweet about and that's it.
Yeah. You can be counted on for something.
Yeah.
And that's important for your brand.
It's like boom.
And building a brand.
Boom, boom.
All right, let's jump into our last question. We need to wrap up here in just a minute, but I mentioned earlier that Todd and I have some different opinions on Twitter and that Todd is incorrect. So we'll try to keep this debate short and sweet and I'll try to finish it quickly. Which is more important, good content or gaining followers? And don't you dare try to take the middle ground on this one.
I was going
to
say both.
Yes, I know you were.
I think one begets the other, Barnabas.
Yes, but if you were talking about sheer effort and the amount of strategy you put in, which do you put more strategy into?
I put more effort into followers.
Why?
I really do. One reason, it is because, you know, I do have somewhat of a competitive nature. But also, if you look at my Strength Finder, which I've talked about once or twice, my top two are Strategic and Maximizer. And so if there is a system or a process in place, I've got to figure out the way the gears work and the mm-hmm. way they work together. I've got to figure out how to maximize whatever this effort is to really tweak it and make it hum. And what happened to me is probably, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, our communications department at McLean presented me with, hey, we want to consolidate, you know, all of our social media into one thing. There's like 57 different accounts. I mean, McLean's a massive church, but 57, it was insane how many just Facebook accounts they had. And Twitter and all this. And so they're presenting me with all this, and they that's the first time I'd ever heard about the clout score. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what's my clout score? And they were like 17. And I was like, what? And they were laughing. These are young bucks, right? And I'm not 40, but compared to them, I was an old dog. And so I just said, okay, what's a good one? And then what is yours? And I said, by August, I will have XYZ. And so that's how all this madness got started.
Okay.
And from then it was what makes things hum, anything I could read on strategy or anything I could read on, you know, a tool that you might use or whatever. I was all in, man.
And I will say this, there's nothing wrong with strategy, and strategy is always useful so long as the content that it's pointing towards is good. So I am a content person. I don't care about strategy on social media. The phrase you said, good content begets followers, I actually believe that and use that. You don't. You think strategy begets followers.
No, I think
and
both then you do.
But the content is not what's gaining you your followers. You have systems.
It is. I mean, it's about real
it's
followers.
It's what's not losing you your followers.
I do have real followers.
No, I didn't say you didn't. But there are some there are some people who have a lot of followers on Twitter.
Oh, yes.
And their feed sucks.
Yes. If you have, okay, here's the deal. Right. If you have 50,000 or 100,000 followers and you are not regularly hitting triple digits in retweets and favorites,
yeah,
there is something majorly, majorly wrong.
Yeah,
there.
They probably bought their followers.
They bought a bunch of their followers.
Or they just did like the follow back kind of thing. With no filter on what kind of lists they're going after or anything like that.
So what this boils down to, Barnabas would say, is I do follow people strategically. I do that. And so
you do not follow people to follow them. You follow them because you want them to follow you back.
I do want them to hear what I'm saying, and I am not going to – I'm not like a pump and dump, I think it was the old phrase used, where you're like – you follow
a bunch
of people.
That has to do with breastfeeding, but that's fine.
True.
But yeah, anyway, carry on.
No, it was – that's where you follow a bunch of people, and then, you know, it's like less than 24 hours. You unfollow them, and you never do
know that's happening because I've seen – there are three people who follow me and unfollow me every week. And they have – you know, they probably have 70,000 followers, but it's just – they're – that's just like throwing the line in the water to try to hook me into following them. It's not working, but
the other piece we were talking about, I think, you know, personalization or something before is – You need to interact with people. If somebody asks you a question, or if they interact with a post, I'm going to do that a couple of times a day. I try not to hose up my feed.
At the least, so if it's Facebook, at least like a reply.
Yeah.
If it's Twitter, at least favorite it. And you can unfavorite it later, but give it long enough so that they can see that you favorited it. Just because it shows that you read it, and that's an... It's an acknowledgement. If you have a chance to reply and say thanks or great point or just anything, that's great. Because I think the thing that gets lost in social media is the word social. Part of the reason I rebel against the strategy thing is because it doesn't feel like an organic, socially oriented thing. It feels like a game plan. That's a personal preference. There's no moral anything attached to this. But the interacting with people does keep it social. So if you have a strategy and a system in place, Todd, but the interaction keeps it as a social medium, which is where it has its greatest value.
Yeah, and Todd does have really good posts. So he's
not cheating anybody on content.
No, he's not just, getting followers and not posting anything. So there is that good content or gaining followers, but I mean, I do agree that it is both.
All right, well, we hope that was helpful. That was a rather rambling conversation about social media. It's something all three of us enjoy a lot and participate in, possibly more than we should. It might be a bit of an addiction, but it's a valuable addiction, I think.
It is.
But we really hope it was beneficial to you in a leadership position, maybe even provided a couple of chuckles here and there. That was this week's episode of the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. If you would be nice enough to jump on iTunes and leave us a rating and review, especially if it's a nice one, that helps other leaders find the podcast. The way iTunes works is the more reviews and ratings you have, the more likely it is to show up in rankings and alongside other podcasts. So help us out in that way. We would greatly appreciate it. Thanks for listening and tune in next time. Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. To learn more about how you can train leaders in your church, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks and register for a free online demo. For participating, you will get a 30-day free trial. Again, that's ministrygrid.com/howitworks.